Today we're completing an interview with Walter Last. He's educated, a research chemist, biochemist, and toxicologist, who's also gone the way of practicing nutritionist and natural therapist. But what I've loved most from reading his work and speaking to him is his common sense, which springs out of the natural order of all things. And in regards to a new world order, he believes humanity has reached a point where disease is no longer necessary. And he's definitely doing his part to help this realized state along. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. There are a couple more things I definitely want to cover today with you. You have such a great understanding of how everything works, and then also some wonderful information, especially the whole boron story. You rightly entitled your article, The Boron Conspiracy, and it's very aptly named. I'm wondering if you can share a little bit about that. Is that after you became aware of Rex Noonan's work?
Well, I became aware of it already, let's say, 30 years ago. I lived then in New Zealand, and Rex was in New Zealand. But it wasn't a great issue then. I just recommended borax for arthritis, and that was it. But only recently, 1 to 2 years ago, I became aware of it, that borax was being banned, especially in the EU, and that started out from Germany, and I started investigating this story, why they would start banning such a useful and, in regard to health, harmless chemical. And so I found that it was mainly caused by Germany is a main hub of the pharmaceutical industry, and they had to kind of protect their interests, because if you can easily prevent and cure arthritis and osteoporosis, then it's a main body hit to the pharmaceutical industry. So that is the reason why in Germany borax is treated in the same way as heroin is in the United States, you know. It's a major no-no and completely banned, while it is much less strict in other EU countries and in Great Britain. They have banned it, but are not quite as strict. So from this you can see where it comes from. But the EU, and especially the Germans, try all the rest of the world, including the United States and Australia, to ban borax. There it is still available at the moment, but it becomes more and more difficult to get, especially here in Australia. So it started when Rex Noonan developed arthritis himself, and he was a plant and soil specialist, and found that the plants in his neighborhood environment were extremely deficient in boron. So he took borax, and soon his arthritis was cured. He started selling boron tablets with about 30 milligram borax in it. It helped cure many people, and he also made the mistake of trying to get a pharmaceutical company interested in selling it, because the demand was so increasing that he couldn't cope with it anymore. And the pharmaceutical company told him they wouldn't be interested, but it would reduce their profits. But instead, the company representatives on the what's now called TGA, or in America the FDA, and so in response they declared borax products and boron supplements in all concentration a poison, and Newnham was fined for selling a poison, and so that stopped the arthritis cure, and it went underground again.
Yes. Now, I noticed in your article that a certain amount of the borax or boron can be used to help treat candida as well, and I would like to use this as a way to lead in, because I feel like I'm fairly well-versed in lots of alternative-type medicines, but your article on kerosene just blew my mind.
Yeah. So I like borax as a candida treatment because you don't taste it.
Yes.
And it doesn't cause any problems. So even children can take it without a problem, while most other remedies are objectionable, especially to children and people with sensitive taste. But in amounts of about 500 milligrams a day for not too heavy individuals and 1 gram for heavier individuals, borax is extremely effective against candida and other fungi, and it can be used especially just mixing it with food, and especially for people who eat carbohydrates which nourish the candida. So in this way, you can have an anti-candida diet while still eating, let's say, some cereals or fruit.
I think just you just made a lot of friends.
Just mixing in sufficient borax. So, for instance, it had been found in high amounts, more than, let's say, 2 to 3 teaspoonfuls a day in comparison to humans. Rats can develop some reproductive problems. Not serious, but, and that is the reason why borax is being banned. That's the official reason. But in comparison to humans, they gave about 2 teaspoonfuls, which is, let's say, more than 10 grams, 10 to 12 grams a day of borax to rats for 3 generations, and they thrived on it. And all the borax miners and populations in Turkey who are exposed to extremely high amounts of borax kind of thrive on it and have even better reproductive rate than others. So, taking just 1 gram a day for a short period for humans shouldn't be a problem if taking it for taking, let's say, more than 10 gram for several generations doesn't cause a reproductive problem. In this way, I regard borax as one of the least harmful remedies, at least much less harmful than table salt, for instance, in toxicology studies, or less harmful than sodium bicarbonate. So in this way, I don't see a problem taking it for some time for candida treatment in amounts of up to 1 gram. Although in another study on vaginal thrush caused by candida and similar microbes, they found a capsule of borax inserted at bedtime for a few days was more effective than any other medical or other treatment. So it is an extremely effective anti-candida treatment. So, you know, it's one of my favorites, you might say.
Yes. So, Walter, give us a little bit about using kerosene.
I started out becoming interested in it in the late 1970s, early 1980s. There was a lot about kerosene curing cancer, and that came from Germany. But then people started using it, and then the authorities, at least here in Australia, where I was then living, started putting blue color, or requiring blue coloring in all kerosene, and I didn't know what that was, and so I stopped recommending it because I didn't know if that was harmful or not. But more recently, I came across German reports of a woman who had cured herself with kerosene. She was declared to be dying and had only 2 days to live, but cured herself with kerosene and spread the message around, and others took it up. And then a German conventional weekly magazine started publishing stories about people curing their cancer with kerosene. After a few months, the editor was fired, but still the story survived, and I came to read a write-up of these stories, and that rekindled my interest, and I started investigating more and found that it is really quite harmless, that it has been used for, you might say, thousands of years by people to cure themselves of all kinds of diseases, not just cancer. And also that there is a variety of kerosene around which is called low odor kerosene, which is relatively easy to take. And I recommend now to just coat your tongue with a bit of molasses, take a teaspoon of kerosene, wash it down with a bit with another drink and eat a little bit afterwards, and you hardly taste anything. But if you do, there may be some repeat of the taste for a little while, but that's a minor problem. It doesn't happen all the time, this repeat. I'm still using it now from time to time because I believe in continuous or repeated using antimicrobials to keep our intestines clean from candida and others, because once you have had it, you have the spores there, which may still be in the skin of the intestines. And if you eat a lot of fruit or other carbohydrates, then they can redevelop. So it is good from time to time to take fungicides to keep your body clean. And so I found that it is quite good if you have a fruit meal and you have had candida, just to take a teaspoon of either low odor kerosene or also natural gum turpentine is good for that. Coat your tongue with molasses, wash it down, eat another piece of fruit afterwards, and if you are lucky, you don't taste anything from it.
Yes, now
if taste the gum turpentine, it has a reasonably pleasant taste, so there is no problem.
Do you feel like the kerosene and turpentine work exactly the same? If you had someone who came to you with cancer, would you recommend one over the other?
I recommend a mixture of all of these things, because most of these antimicrobials work against different kinds of microbes, and they work in different parts of the body. So often, if you just take Lugol solution, for instance, or hydrogen peroxide, it works mostly in the front part of the intestines. That means in the small intestines where the food is being absorbed, and that is a very important part. But you may still have a problem in the large intestines, your bowels. And if you take some of the others, such as kerosene or turpentine, then it goes through the whole of the intestinal tract and cleans out all of the end part of it, so which is important if you have Crohn's disease or bowel cancer. Then you need something which goes through the whole of the tract, while, you know, as I said, many are absorbed in the front part. Of course, it depends somewhat on the amount. If you take very high amount of Lugol solution, then also some of it will go through the whole of the tract. So different antimicrobials have different effects, although many women especially have bladder problem, irritable bladder or bladder infection repeated, and that are not just one microbe. The problem with the medical treatment is that they give an antibiotic to what they found is a dominant species causing the problem. they basically never check for fungi, candida, or what is called pleomorphics, which is a soup of hundreds of different kind of species. So if you just take an antibiotic and knock out the dominant species, then some other microbes become dominant, and after a few weeks of being improved, the problem recurs, but then the antibiotic doesn't help anymore because different species have become dominant.
Yes.
And the good news with the natural microbicides is that they are usually broad spectrum. They don't just knock out a few species. Well, some of them do, some work more against fungi and some more against bacteria. But if you take either high enough amounts or different kind of antimicrobials, then you can knock out everything and not just the dominant species.
Right.
So
yes.
That's why I recommend combining different antimicrobials and not just using one.
Yes.
And also using them in high enough amounts.
Well, Walter, many Americans now are gradually loosening their heavy reliance on the medical system. And certainly farmers have seen what has happened to their land, and parents are seeing how the use of antibiotics are creating compromised situations. And certainly you've spoken a lot about that today. What is your assessment from within your large circle?
Sorry, about what?
Do you feel like more and more people are actually learning about this, and do you feel like there is a good change coming about?
Generally, yes, but the conservative side, I believe that drug companies are worried because of all the information available on the internet, and they have agents who spread misinformation on the internet and also produce information to denigrate doctors who use natural therapies or natural therapists. And I believe drug companies specifically fund studies to knock down natural remedies. So if only the tiniest amount, you can easily see that with vitamin C, for instance. So in the 1970s, Linus Pauling, with two Nobel Prizes, you know, he started recommending vitamin C in high amounts, not just for the common cold, but also for cancer. And that became a big story.
Short-lived. Yes.
Drug companies funded studies which shows that vitamin C is very harmful. And that became a big story in the mass media.
Yes.
And only in recent times, just a few years ago and now, had it become apparent from new research that Pauling was right, and that vitamin C, with making the body alkaline, does knock out cancer. And in the same way, they tried to kind of skew their research in a way that they find something which where they can say vitamins, minerals as remedies are harmful. And, you know, we should rely on drug research and go to your doctor to get some drugs instead of some vitamins.
Yes, well, I'm so happy that somehow I found you on the internet, and I think our audience is quite open to this information, and I'm sure many of them have more than an inkling about what's going on with all of this, and the fact that you have so many articles to share that are so simply written. You handle a lot of very important information, but certainly anyone that reads the article can pick up on it and figure it out. So thank you.
Thank you, Robin.
So do you feel like the basics are covered now with these articles you've written? Do you have new articles about something else coming up?
Yeah, I'm writing more all the time. I'm writing now actually about rejuvenation, a booklet. But that has more to do with working with what's called energies, chi, and on the bioenergies. So in a few months' time, I'll have some of that available, hopefully.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I will pass along your website to our listeners, and maybe we can catch up with you again in a year after your articles are out and talk more about the energetic side of things.
Yeah, that'd be good. Thanks, Robin.
I'm just so happy I found Walter on the internet. Walter Last, author of many ebooks, books, and articles. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. And for podcasting on iTunes, it's tributariesradio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.